I read Mark chapter 5, and I'm going to begin reading verse 25. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Father, bless now our time in your word. Do the work you alone can do, Lord. We trust you to do it in our midst this morning. And we'll give you all the glory and the praise in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Now, in this account, as we think about this woman here, I believe we can see some things we can draw from ourselves and the pictures that is here within this story that we have. Now, first of all, I want you to understand something, that there was this throng of people, this crowd of people that was following Jesus. But I want you to understand this morning, there was a woman in that crowd. That crowd, and most of that crowd, was just satisfied to be a part of a crowd. We don't really know why a lot of them was there, amen? I mean, some of them could have been there just like the woman desiring something from the Lord. Some could have been there out of curiosity. Some could have been there just out of wanting to be there and not really even knowing what was going on. For whatever reason, though, many of them were satisfied just to be in the crowd. Can I tell you something today? There's a lot of people sitting in churches all across our country today that's satisfied with just being part of a crowd. But this lady was not satisfied being part of a crowd. She wanted a personal experience with Jesus Christ. She came along behind because she desired something more than just following a crowd. She wanted to have contact with the Savior. And let me tell you something. Being part of a crowd will get you nothing. It's only that personal touch from Jesus Christ that's going to change a person. Amen? It's through Him and Him alone. So this lady was following in the crowd, but she had a goal. She had a purpose. And that purpose was that personal contact with Jesus Christ. But let's look at this lady, for example, and let's see some things. Number one, what this lady had, I believe, is a good picture of sin. She had an incurable disease, humanly speaking. And you know what? That's exactly what sin is. There's no man that can cure sin. There's no man that can forgive sin. And humanly speaking, we see a picture in this disease of what sin is. This disease was weakening this lady. And let me tell you something, that's what sin does. Folks that are in sin and do not know Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you something. Hey, there's no cure. There's nothing any man can do. But that sin continually is weakening and destroying. Exactly what this disease was doing for this. Can I tell you this? This lady had been made a slave by this disease. Did you know this disease was determining exactly what was going to happen in her life? She could only do what it would allow her to do. She could only go where it would allow her to go. You see, what more of a picture of sin than to realize that, hey, listen, sin makes people slaves to it. And they'll do what the devil and what sin wants to be done. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of times they don't even realize it. That's the sad part. I've had them say to me, well, I'm my own man. I'll do what I want to do. But that's not true. If you're not saved, you'll do what the devil wants you to do. You'll do what sin wants you to do. And never really is it a fact of doing what you want to do, because that's the way sin works. And this lady was a slave to this disease, just like sin makes one a slave to it. Not only that, but this disease was making her miserable. I mean, it was just making her miserable. She couldn't enjoy life. If people be honest, oh, sin has its pleasure for a season. It's what the Bible says. But then the misery sets in. Then the heartbreak. Then the heartache. Because that's what sin does. And it makes one... You can't know the joy that only Christ can give by knowing Him as Savior. You cannot know that in sin. And you cannot enjoy life without Jesus Christ. We find here she had... this disease had come to a place. And then we know it's a picture of sin in that what the end result of this disease was. You know what this disease was doing to her? Slowly, but surely, it was killing her. She was dying. James said, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. It's a killer. It's a killer. Sin is always a killer. And we find that sin... in an individual's life will destroy them. And we find this lady with this disease, a picture of what she had here in this sense of this disease. The Bible says this certain woman had, and she had it for 12 years. And then the Bible says this, she realized it. Now, she least, one of the things, she realized she had a problem and she needed help. Did you know what? Sad truth is, a lot of people who are in sin and do not know the Lord won't recognize and admit they got a problem and they need help. But this lady did. But look what she did in trying to solve her problem. We find what happened here. The Bible tells us here in verse number 26, and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. Did you know what? She sought answers, but the truth is she sought them in the wrong places. Did you know there's a lot of people today that need Jesus Christ as their Savior? They know their life's a mess, but here's the problem. They set out to try to correct it by themselves. They want to try to solve their problem without realizing, hey, you can't do that. It's not of something we can do of ourselves. Salvation, we find Ephesians tells us there, for by grace are you saved through faith, and it's not anything of yourselves that you can do. You see, because, why? Because the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and it's not of ourselves, lest any man should boast. If we could get ourselves saved, you know what? We wouldn't praise and give praise and glory to God. We'd get the praise because we did it. And so as a result, hey, we can't save ourselves and we can't be good enough to do that as well. And so she began to sing, began to try to solve her situation herself. And look what she did. She suffered many things of many physicians. Now, I kind of picture, I'm a visually oriented person, okay? And so you'll bear with me and you'll learn that. But look, I picture in my mind, she's probably out there one day and it's just in her weakened condition and sickly, and a neighbor sees her, and maybe a neighbor says this, you know what? I know Dr. So-and-so down the road here. Have you gone and seen him yet? You know what? I bet he could help you. And the Bible says she suffered things of many physicians, so no doubt she went down there, but, you know, he couldn't help her. And so, maybe another day, she sees somebody else and she says, look, I'll tell you what, I bet this doctor can help you. Why don't you go down to that doctor? And she goes down. Now look, don't get me wrong. I believe God can use doctors and that. But I'm saying for this lady, that was not the answer for what she needed. And for some reason, I believe because of her desperation, she wants the help. And so she's seeking every avenue that she can of herself to try to solve her situation. And so she starts running from doctor to doctor to doctor, but nothing happens. Not only this, but the Bible says there in verse number 26, she spent all that she had. Can I tell you something? This lady, I believe, was bankrupt more than just financially. I believe this lady was at the bottom. I believe she was bankrupt physically because of disease. I believe she was bankrupt emotionally. I believe spiritually. Hey, this lady was at the bottom. And I said that one time I was preaching in a church, and a fella came up to me afterwards and he said, "Brother Decker, I just got to share something with you. There's a place lower than the bottom." And I said, "Really?" And he began to share his testimony, and he said, where I was at, had to look up just to see the bottom. Now that's pretty low. And I'm going to tell you something. I believe that's where this lady was. She didn't know what else to do. She was trying everything within her own power to get something to change. And you know, I've met people like that. I've met people like that. You know, I was reading these notes, and I had another notepad sitting there as I was doing this, and I came across a message of a preacher back in the back around the late 1800s, early 1900s, and he had a message entitled "The Great Physician." And in that message, he had list of all the names of doctors that people would go, you know, things they would do instead of going to the great physician. And I picked, I'm not going to preach his message now, but I did like a couple of them. He said a lot of people, they'll get there and they run to Dr. Goodenough. Dr. Goodenough, now let me tell you, Dr. Goodenough, here's his prescription. Here's what he says. Just start doing good. Do good works. Do good deeds. Just try to do those. Hey, have you all ever, you know, I've been out and I've heard adults say to kids this before. Here's what they said. "Now you better be good. You know you want to go to heaven, so you better be good." Hey, you know what? They may have meant well, but that's not true. That child will never be good enough to get to heaven, and neither will you or I or anybody else, because the Bible said there's none that doeth good and sinneth not. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and you can't do good enough to get to heaven. There's just nobody that can. But that's old Dr. Goodenough. That was his advice. Well, let me tell you something. Dr. Goodenough's a quack. He's giving people false information. And then I saw another one he had there, and his name was Dr. Do-Better. This is turn over a new leaf. Just start doing better, you know, just kind of forget your past and just start doing things better in a better way. Well, it sounds good, but nothing's going to change. You may change some outward circumstances, and you may, you know, I always use this illustration. I love this illustration. I heard about a guy, and he got a pet skunk. And he got this pet skunk, and one of his buddies came over right after he got it, and he said, "What in the world is that?" And he said, "It's my pet skunk." He said, "Really? You want a pet skunk?" He said, "Don't worry about it." He said, I'm gonna take care of it." He said, "What I'm going to do is I'm going to get some shoe polish, and I'm going to polish that white stripe down the back and just so he's solid black." And said, "Then I'm going to get some talcum powder and some perfume, and I'm just going to put it all over him." And said, "Then I'm going to buy a collar and a bell and put it around his neck. And I'm going to call him Kitty, and folks will just think it's a cat." And his buddy looked at him and he said, "Yeah, that might work on the outside." But he said, "Buddy, you scare that thing, and you're going to find out he's still a skunk on the inside." And can I tell you, people try to cover up everything they want to on the outside, but unless something changes on the inside, it's no good. It's no good. And so, oh, Dr. Do-Better and Dr. Goodenough, they're both quacks and giving bad information. But now, this is where the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. This next verse. Watch this now. And it says in verse 27, if you're there, when she had heard of Jesus. Now let me say it again. when she had heard. Y'all know what that tells me? Somebody was talking about Jesus. Amen. She couldn't have heard unless somebody was talking about Jesus. When she had heard. Now again, it doesn't say exactly where she heard. It doesn't say who she heard it from. But if you'll permit me for a minute, just as I was that day, as I saw that and was thinking about it, I don't know. But maybe she in her weakened condition was out one day, and at that day, rather, that very day, and she's out, and here's a guy standing down here, and he's doing this number on the corner. And she sees him, and she says, "Sir, what are you looking at?" And he said, "Lady, everything. Everything." He said, "You see, lady, I was blind and I'd never seen anything. And I was down there begging and a man come by me, a man like no other man I'd ever met before. And his name was Jesus. And he healed me. And now I can see, lady, because of what Jesus did for me. And I want to look around and see everything." Or maybe there was a guy standing on the corner and he was just doing this number. And she saw him and said, "Sir, something wrong? What is it?" "Oh, no, lady, isn't anything wrong at all. Look at them hands. You ever seen hands like that before? Look at them hands, man. You see that? You see that? Oh, look at my face. Hey, lady, did you know what? Not too long ago, these hands had big old sores right in the middle of them, and the flesh was falling off, and I had them on my face, and I had to put a cloth over my mouth and holler, 'Unclean, unclean,' and a man came by. And his name was Jesus. And he said, 'Be thou clean.' And he told us to go show ourselves to the priest. And lady, I'm on my way. But have you ever seen, oh man, just like baby skin?" Or maybe she saw this guy. She's in her feeble condition. She's not getting around very good. And here comes a guy doing this number. And she says, "Sir, you sure are happy." And he said, "Yes, ma'am. You better believe I'm happy. Did you see what I just did there? Did you know I was on these, sitting down there, had to drag myself around everywhere. I had these old legs that had no strength in them. And there was a man. He came walking by me and he said, 'Take up thy bed and walk.' And he said, 'Look at this lady. I can jump and I can walk and I can run.'" You said, "Wait a minute, Brother Decker. It doesn't say that those people..." Hey, I know it doesn't, but it could have. Hey, man, she heard it from somebody. Can I tell you something? It's time somebody talked out loud about Jesus. We got a story to tell. If you're in here and you're saved, you got a story to tell. And the only way they're going to hear is somebody talks about him. You know what? The world has intimidated us to the place that we think we can't speak up and talk about Jesus in public. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. We were, fall, had a missionary coming through, and my wife and I and Andrew, my son, we knew him from Oklahoma, and so we took him to Panera. Was that what it was? Panera. And get a sandwich and that. And we're kind of sitting in. We put some tables together and we're sitting. We're just sitting there talking, laughing, talking about serving the Lord. We got up to leave. And they're all going. And me and my wife sit at the back of the line. And a teenage girl sitting at the table. She said, Sir, could you come over here a minute, please?" And I walked over there. Me and my wife did. And I said, "Yes, what can I do for you?" She said, "Sir, would you by any chance be a preacher?" And I said, "I am, yes." I said, "What can I do?" She said, "My friend over here, she needs to be saved. And I've been witnessing to her. And she said, I believe as a preacher, you probably could tell her better than me. And my wife and I shared the scriptures with that young lady. She weeping, tears running down her face. You know, here's the thing. The teenage girl said to me, because I didn't have my Bible, have my phone. I got King James Bible on my phone. I had it right there. And I reached to get my phone, and that teenage girl said to me, you need a Bible? Here, mine's already open to the book of Romans if you want to use it. I'll tell you what, that in itself was a blessing. Just to see a teenage young lady wasn't ashamed about Jesus. We didn't see that girl get saved, but God was dealing with her heart. We still pray for her. We got her name on our prayer list. And she was from a different town, and we don't have any way to follow up on it. But I'm going to tell you what, I found this out a long time ago. When I can't follow up on it, there's somebody that knows exactly where she's at and just keep following up on it. Amen? But you say, well, how come she asked you? I got a feeling she was kind of eavesdropping. Yeah, because I wasn't wearing a label that said preacher. And I wasn't even eating fried chicken. She heard about Jesus. And let me tell you what she heard. She heard enough about Jesus that she made a decision that day. Wherever this man is, I'm going there. I want to see for myself this one named Jesus. Because here's what the Bible says now. The Bible said when she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind. She came in the press behind. She decided, there's a crowd. This lady is a sick lady. This lady, from what we can gather from the scriptures, very weakened lady. Very sickly lady. And yet she's in a press. Now, hey, I need some help, Brother John. Will you help me? I need a couple other guys to help me here. A couple of guys to help me here. You come and let's see here. What we've got down here? Somebody. You pick me some volunteers. You know, four or five. Make up. I gotta have a crowd. But you know, I'm on up here. Okay. All right. You stand up here in the front, brother. Okay. Right here. And let me get you guys. Come around me. Come back here behind me. Okay. Come behind me. All right. There you go. I think maybe we. Might need, you want to help? Would you mind? I won't embarrass you at all. You can just come up here. Well, some people get embarrassed. They just come up here. But anyway, I can't. All right, here we go. Okay, here we go. Let me see. Hey, brother. Doug, either one of you. That's fine. Yeah, that's okay. One of you. I want a couple of you men here in the front. Stand right there. Stand right there, brother. About shoulder to shoulder with him. Guys, there's a reason they call it a press. Press. Come on. Don't push them off now. Okay. Now, the reason they called it a press was because there were so many of them, they were all pressed together. How many of you ever been in a press? Hey, this short guy's been in a press before. Just like right here. Ronald Reagan came to Bowling Green, and he was going to be at Diddle Arena, but man, we wanted to go see, so it was first come, first serve. So we lined up at the doors. They opened the doors. I was in the press. My wife was in the press. My little kids were in the press. Next thing I know, we're going through doors. My feet are barely moving. I'm getting carried by the crowd. My 5 or 6 year old daughter is left outside the door. I'm pushed inside the door. I finally get loose from the press. I turn around, my daughter's out, and the guy won't let her in. And I went back and I said, either let her in or let me out. One of the two. I convinced him, he let her in. But that's a press. She was in a press. They were pressing her. Get the picture now. Stay with me. Watch this. Because I want you to see the faith of this lady. I want you to see the faith of this lady. The Bible says she firmly believed, if I could just but touch his garment, he'll change me. I'll be made whole. Now, watch. This lady, come on guys, don't press scratch so hard. We don't want them falling, but come on up. Now look, this lady's right here. This lady's not like this. No, she's not like this at all. I'll show you how this lady is. She's all stooped over from her illness. You say, Brother Decker, How do you know that? Because in another portion of Scripture, it records it this way. There was a certain part of his garment that she was going to touch. How many of you know what it was? The hem of his garment. So that tells me she's down here low. Because all she's wanting to do is touch the hem. But yet, by faith, she has made her way through this press just to get her hand through. Press together, guys. Just to get her hand through so she can touch Jesus. Are you getting the picture? Hey, she truly believed he could change her. She would never attempt that if she didn't believe it. It was an act of faith. Amen. Now, y'all can be seated for a moment, but you're coming back, okay? I'm not done yet. Now watch. Watch what happens now. Look at this. The Bible says in verse number 28, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. So she touches him, the Bible says, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Now look, let me tell you something. Immediately upon touch with Jesus, something happened. Hey, listen to me. I know she had a physical disease. I understand that. But I firmly believe when a person trusts Jesus Christ as Savior, something happens on the inside. I have problems with somebody who says they're saved, but nothing's ever changed on the inside. And let me tell you this. We're not saved by feelings, but praise God we got feelings. And I'll tell you, the night I got saved, the bedroom of my home, 2851 Elam Drive in Louisville, Kentucky, no lights went off, no horns went off, but I'll tell you what happened. I got up and laid in my bed and put my head on my pillow, and for the first time in many nights, I said, Lord, if I don't wake up in the morning, I'll be with you. I'm trusting you. And I'm going to tell you something had changed in here. And I felt a peace. And I felt a joy. She felt, she knew something had happened. Verse 30, I find this kind of humorous. And Jesus, immediately knowing himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Look at his disciples. You got to get the picture. Remember, it's a press. Everybody's squeezing together and pushing along. Why? Because Jesus, he's been doing these miracles. Jairus has come. His daughter is sick unto death. He's on his way to Jairus' house. They're all following to see what's going to happen. But look here, on the way, this lady says, I'm going to touch his garment. And then this crowd's here, and Jesus says, who touched my clothes? Look at the reaction of his disciples. And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? Do you see? They didn't say that. Here's how they said it. Lord, you see this multitude? You know what? People were bumping into them. People were pressing. And they said, and you ask us who touched you? Wait a minute, I got a question for you. Stop right here. Did Jesus know who touched him? Sure he did. He's God. Well, you say, well, why did he ask them that question? Because there was other people there that needed to know what happened. There was a lady that needed to testify what had happened and not be ashamed of what happened. And then there was other people that it was going to be a testimony to. Then because the Bible says this, he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Man, their eyes meet, her heart melts. Did you know what? As I read this and just the wording, God used something right here too to speak to me. When she is standing there and Jesus looks at her, folks, she is not like this. She's like this. I believe she's standing up. You say, where do you get that at? Well, the Bible says she came and fell down before him. You don't fall down if you're already down. Amen? I believe he had changed her. She's standing upright over there. She's stronger now. She's got strength. But this time, she doesn't fall down because of her disease. She falls down because of worship, adoration, gratefulness. Every one of us ought to bow at his feet regularly in worship and adoration and thankfulness for what he's done for us if we're saved. So she falls down. And then she tells him all that had transpired. He knew it, but none of these people knew it. But now they do. Watch this though. Verse 34. And he said unto her, woman, is it there? Are you there? Is that what it says? Woman! No. Lady! Person! Daughter! You know what? That implies relationship. Daughter! Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Isn't it amazing how when Jesus touches somebody there in the Bible, he usually says the next command is, well, go over somewhere, sit down and stay there for a while and just enjoy what you got. It's always go. And can I just, another thing in my mind I picture. This lady left the home somewhere that morning. We don't know if she had a husband. We don't know if she had children. We don't know what kind, but we know she had a family. She at least had a mother and dad. Amen. And so she left that morning like this. Now she comes home. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. You say that song wasn't written then. Well, if it had been, she'd have been singing it. Amen. Can you imagine the neighbors? Can you imagine her family members? Just her very presence said something happened to her. And they say, where you been? What in the world happened to you? And she says, you know how I was when I left this morning? I heard about a man named Jesus. I touched him. And he did this for me. And I'm whole because of what Jesus did. I bet you couldn't have quieted her down if you'd have tried. I bet she told everybody she came in contact with what Jesus had done for her. But wait a minute. I'm just about done. One more thing. Again, this is where the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart right here. Gentlemen, if you'll come back for just a moment. Now I'll close with this illustration. Just like you were, same positions. Don't get too close to the edge just in case you scare me. We don't know everybody that was in that crowd. The Bible does not specify everybody that was in that crowd, right? But we do know some of who was in that crowd because the Bible tells us they were in that crowd. We know his disciples were in that crowd. And if his disciples were in that crowd, do you know where they most likely were? They were right around Jesus. Because that's what they would be doing. Press. Here's this lady trying her best to get just to touch his garment. She's down here and she's reaching, maybe crawling. I don't know, but somehow all she can do is get to the garment and the hem. And here's the thought the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart about. That last row of people that she was trying to reach through and touch Jesus could very well have been his disciples. And his disciples were blocking a lady that needed help from Jesus. And instead of blocking that lady, if they saw her trying to get through, what should they have done? And the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, Joe Decker, are you hindering people? Or are you helping people get to Jesus? His disciples may have been so involved in their service for the Lord, they thought they forgot the main purpose of what they were supposed to be doing. And that was getting people to Jesus. And I got to raise my hand and plead guilty. In my business, sometimes I've even served the Lord. I forget what it's all about. And I forget everywhere around me are people that need Jesus. And they won't go to Him unless they hear about Him. The Bible says they can't believe unless they hear. I got to be talking about Him. But then more than that, I got to be helping them so they can touch Jesus. Here's the question this morning. If you're here and you're saved this morning, are you helping? Are you hindering? Sometimes in our own lives, in our testimonies, we just don't talk about Jesus. We just live our life and we forget there's people all around us that's lost. And if they could hear what He done for us, it might just convince them they need Jesus too. Just like this lady. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you very much. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Invitation being prepared. Let me speak to Christians just a moment. We that are saved, we that are His disciples, His followers, are we involved in telling people about Jesus? Are we talking about Him to people we're around? Are we talking about Him in our neighborhoods, in our homes, in our jobs, in our schools? Are we talking about Him? And talking about Him in such a way that people want to know who He is and what He can do for them? Or are we standing in the way of others who have a need, and in spite of us, like they were the disciples that day, they have to reach through to get to Jesus? Oh, listen, I don't know how God spoke, but I sense He's speaking to some hearts right now. Would you just say yes to Him about whatever it is He's touching your heart about right now? If you're here and you're not saved this morning, this is the time you can come and you can experience that personal touch of Jesus. You can be made spiritually whole this morning by coming. You can be saved. Don't put it off a moment longer. Come now. Let's stand together with our heads bowed.